Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. How many glad you up in this house today? Amen. Are you excited to be in church today? Adam said he forgot to give you the numbers for the building fund, and it was a pretty significant jump. So last week it was at $139,820 through what came in here in the house last week. Plus we had some come in through the mail this week. That number has jumped from $139,820 to $141,655. Amen. So we are well on our way. I can't wait to see. Actually, we heard, I think Andy said the other day, told Adam that he's going to have one more piece of equipment to go out and rake everything up, and then he'll be turning it over to Adam. They're going to get that thing ready so we can actually have go out and do a, I want to have an evening when it's much cooler weather. Before we do any official groundbreaking, I want us to go out there as a church body and form a huge circle around that 12 acres. 12 acres? Is that right? Is that right? I don't know why that number just jumped out there. I was thinking it should have been 20, but I think God stopped us at 12. Anyway, which leads into the message when sometimes God closes the door. But anyway, we're going to have an incredible time out there and maybe set up the speakers and have some worship and then have a time of prayer over that property, because I believe that property is going to be the home base for miracle signs and wonders. Amen. Do you believe that this morning, church? Amen. Well, today is part two and the conclusion of a message that we started last week. I encourage you to find something to take notes with. If you missed last week, you can go back to the podcast, or I believe the live feed is still up on Facebook, at least for 30 days. And I think Facebook, their new procedure or policy is that they delete that after that, but that is still there. So this message title, simple message entitled, Proceed Until Prevented. Proceed until prevented. And then we ask the question, what do you do? What do you do when God says no? If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Welcome those that are tuned in through Facebook Live and those that are joining us through podcast. God is in the house today. Amen. I don't know if you heard, as you're turning there, I don't know if you heard what Michael said when he was just here a moment ago. He said, he is a co-owner of the print shop here, and his family owns here in town. He said, I had to come get some things so that I could continue to work at the hospital this week. He said, I could go back and tell Ethan that you guys prayed for me. He said, but I wanted to record it. And I just hope and pray that it ministers to that young man's heart and that it would encourage him today. Amen. Amen, amen. So thank you for being a church that loves and allows us just to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, because that's what we want to be about. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. This is what I read to you last week. It's Paul and Silas's missionary tour, and this is right in the middle of that tour, and it goes out this way. Next, everybody say next. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Everybody say, God prevented. Yeah, this is weird. I know we didn't spend a lot of time in this side of the story last week, but we are going to begin unpacking it in just a moment. Verse 7, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. And this is what happened in that vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Last week, we kind of left this side of the story, and we went back into the Old Testament to a story that a lot of us are familiar with the parting of the Red Sea. It's found in the book of Exodus, and it's the story where God spoke to this guy by the name of Moses, and God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and make this bold yet simple statement, "Let my people go." And you know the story that Pharaoh was like, not going to happen. Everybody say, "Closed door." Closed door. Yeah, okay. So anyway, I was trying to get a laugh there. Just trying to segue to, okay, too late. Anyway, it hurt my feelings, but it's okay. We'll move on. But after what happened was, Pharaoh said, "Hey, you know what? Matter of fact, God sent 10 plagues, and one of those took out Pharaoh's oldest son, and so Pharaoh could see that there was something happening, that God clearly had chosen these people, and there was all this crazy bad stuff was happening in Egypt. So he said, "You know what, Moses, you go ahead and take the people. As a matter of fact, here, you can take some of this gold with you, and you guys go." Well, as it would happen, as they were leaving, Moses is like, "There goes all of our economy. There goes who's going to work for us. Who's going to make the money?" And so Pharaoh changed his mind, and he sent his army after them. And so the thing that really tripped me out about this was last week I pointed out the fact that not only did God lead his people out of over 400 years of slavery, but he led them to a closed door. Everybody say, "Closed door." So God provided the way of escape, and he led them to a closed door that we know as the Red Sea. And I didn't point this out last week, but sometimes when you're trusting God to lead you out from the place where you are, sometimes the place that he leads us to may actually be a closed door. Make that make sense. Has that ever happened to you? You're like, you're obeying God, and you're like, "Okay, I need you to move from this job to this job." And then you get there, and that job's not available. But God already quit. It's important that you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and not the voice of what your flesh would actually want. Because a lot of times, we confuse the voices. My inner voice and God's voice. But the Bible says, "My sheep know my voice." So if all you're doing is listening to technology and all of this other stuff, it drowns out the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you're more likely to listen to what your flesh wants and call it God. No, we wouldn't do that. We're Christians, and we go to church, right? We're truly going to follow what God wants us to do, right? Y'all are way too quiet up in here. But what we got to remember, that if God made a way and he's leading me somewhere, if the door is closed, you got to remember that God still has a plan, even though you can't get through. Hello. Even though your prayers have not been answered, God still has a plan. I am speaking to somebody up in here. Just because you have not seen the answer to what you have cried about, what you fell on your knees about, God still has a plan. Once they got to the other side, and the Egyptian army once the children of Israel got through the Red Sea, and the wall was up there, and the army fell in behind, the water came crashing down and took out the entire Egyptian army. Now, it's through this particular story in the Bible that we got our first point last week, and I gave it to you, that God can open any door for anyone at any time. And we know that yes, he led them to the Red Sea. We could see that was clearly a closed door. But then God, through the obedience of Moses, when all God said was, "Lift your hands." And when he did, God parted the Red Sea. Our obedience to what God says is critically important to us receiving the breakthrough. I'm not going to go back and repeat this stuff. I'm hoping that your spirit is so tuned in right now, you're going, "Yes, that I needed that." See, God is not restricted by the details or circumstances of your situation. Did you hear me? God is not restricted by the details or the circumstances of your situation. Last week, God reminded us, and then I'm done with We're trying to bridge the two together. We're going to get some new material. But I told you last week that God reminded us that he's not just a God who opens a door, but he's also a God who can close a door. And that was the closing of the Red Sea. And I told you last week, the reason God shut the door, God opens a door, but then he shut the door, is because what good is an open door if your enemy can get through and follow you? So my question is, how do we respond when a season of our life comes to a close? How do we respond? Think about it. How do you respond when the job that you invested so much of your time in, so much of blood, sweat, and tears, so much overtime, when your boss comes to you and go, your services are no longer needed? How do we respond as a Christian? I know how most people in the world respond. They all kinds of stuff. This stuff, and then they go to Facebook and make sure everybody knows, right? And again, we're Christians. We wouldn't do that. Anyway. Listen, how do we respond? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a friendship. How do we respond when God closes the door on one season of our life? Are we going to get stuck where we currently find ourselves? Or are we looking for another door? Something that I learned a long time ago, God never closes a door without making another one available to you. Now, just like the children of Israel at the Red Sea, he opened the door. They were able to leave, but then they got to the Red Sea and they couldn't go anywhere. But God will always have another door for you when he closes one door. See, I told you this last week. Anybody can praise him for mountains that have been moved. Anybody can praise him when God starts to answer the prayer. But what's our response when God says no, maybe not now or not ever? What's our response to God? Do we give up on God because he's not our genie in a bottle? He's not answering what we feel like we should obviously want. I mean, here in this story, Paul and Silas are actually trying to preach the gospel. They're actually trying to do what God called, that Jesus commanded and commissioned them to do before he left to go back to heaven. And God said, the Holy Spirit said, you're not going there. You're going to Macedonia. So make that make sense. When we're doing what we feel like God has called us to do, but yet God said, no, you can't do that, at least not here. Stay with me. Here's the direction. Here's the direction that I want to take us today. Because see, sometimes it takes someone with spiritual maturity that knows how to thank him and thank God, not just for being a door opener, but for being a door closer. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of doors I'm glad he did not open on my behalf. Think about some of the people you dated who you didn't get married to. Hello, who am I talking to? Listen, not only does God have the authority to close what's behind you, but he also has the authority to keep closed what's in front of you. See, it was in Acts 16:6 that we just read. It says that they were headed to an area to preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit prevented them. As a matter of fact, later it said, the Spirit of Jesus. You want to talk about some power weight words? The Spirit of Jesus prevented us. You know what I've learned at different times along my journey with God? There are times that the Lord will restrict you. The Lord will tell you no, even if what you're trying to do is a good thing. Anybody ever been there? But God, surely this is what you want me to do. We're quick to do what will benefit us and less likely to do what may benefit someone else because it creates an inconvenience here. I know this is some deep stuff. It's real quiet in here, and I'm not nervous about it, but I'm hoping that you're connecting some dots in your own life, because I don't know about you, but there are some doors that I have tried to just get God to open up, and he wouldn't, and I'm glad that he didn't. And then there's some other things I thought, well, surely, God, this is the door. And I've just stood there like for years. God, I thought you said I was called to ministry. I thought you said I was going to work in another man's ministry and be faithful there before you give me my own. And I'm knocking on all these other doors of opportunity thinking that that would be the one. And God said, nope, that's not the one. I put myself in circumstances trying to obey God where I lost everything because I thought I was trying to do what was right. Surely this is what you want from me, God. See, it's no big deal to hear God say no when you're like, yeah, I'm cool. Probably not something God would want me to do. But how do we handle when God says no to something that we're passionate about, something that we would really like to do, an opportunity? How do we respond to God? Do we give up and say, well, God, until you make that happen, forget church. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to stay in. I'll call my bed the Word, and I'm going to stay in the Word on Sundays. How do we respond to God when he doesn't give us our way? Write this down. God prevents things from happening in my life because he can see things that I can't. God prevents things from happening in my life because he can see things that I can't. Listen, most of the time, my only view of that thing that I want is what I would call a window view. Anybody ever purchased a home before? Y'all remember that show? I don't even know if it's still air, or the reruns or whatever, Flip or Flop. Tarek and I don't know, he has the wife he had at that time. Anyway, what's her name? Christina. Tarek and Christina. And he would go and he would buy a house sight unseen. Or actually, they would actually show up on the scene and they would look in the windows and he's like, I really can't tell. But then he would give them full price offer for a house that he had no idea what was going on. Think about some of the relationships. Man, if I could just go out with, listen, God has a view of what's in the closet. That's what I'm trying to say. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet. Yeah, but surely this is the house, and I'm not talking about a house. I'm talking about a person, a relationship, a job, whatever. God can see something that you cannot see. Most realtors will tell you that you're a fool to put an offer on a house that you can only peek through the window and see. Or go purchase a home when all you can see is what's been staged. You know what I'm talking about, Brian? You know, you make it all pretty in the house so the pictures look really good. You make sure the shot that you do is like the right angle so the room looks bigger. I'm not saying, wow, I've just got myself in a ditch. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. You can stage something and make it look better than what it is. I need to go through every thought in my head at home before I let it come out of my mouth on Sundays. Okay, let me change it real quick. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you take a selfie and you got to do the right angle because it leaves things unseen. Hello, somebody. I just rolled over in the ditch. What am I saying? Listen, what if God was like, I got to tell you no because all you're saying yes to is what's being presented to you. See, God has been in rooms that you've not been in yet and heard how people are talking that you don't have access to. So he's keeping the door closed to protect you. Protection. He'll keep the door closed to protect you because God can see what you can't see. Hear what God is saying this morning. I'm preventing it because I see something that you can't. Here's what I found so interesting about this story in the book of Acts. The Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit prevented Paul and Silas to go to Asia because there was danger there. You know how we do sometimes where we're on a trip or we're trying to go somewhere and we get stuck in traffic and we're like, oh, that's what we always say as Christians. Well, God must be protecting me from something. That's why I got stuck in traffic. How many have ever said that? Could it be that God is preventing you not because there's danger, but because there's somebody at the location you're going to show up at who needs to be still there when you get there because there's something you need to do to bring an encouraging word or bring a smile or bring something that God has put in you to give to somebody else. Are you tracking what I'm saying? We are so self-centered. Well, God is just trying to protect me from a wreck. No, he's trying to hold you back because the location you're getting ready to show up at, there's somebody there who's hurting. What am I saying? Live a life that's poured out for others and less about you. I know that's not a real popular statement to say, especially in the culture where we live in, where they're saying, hey, just make it about you. Take care of you. Listen, let me say it this way. You've got to be one strong Christian and strong in your faith to be told no to something that's a good idea that may not be a God idea and be okay with it. You may write it down this way. I must be okay. I've got to learn to be okay with God's no, because he sees something that I don't. Whatever door you're standing in front of that's closed, just know that it's still closed, because either God is trying to do something in you, through you, or what's on the other side is not for you. So the point number two for today is this: God can close any door for anyone at any time. He can close any door for anyone at any time. Then I want you, since you're writing, I want you to write this down too. The way I handle God's restrictions can qualify me or disqualify me for what he has for me next. How I handle God's no, how I handle God's restriction will either qualify me or disqualify me for what he has for me next. See, it's easy to run through an open door. But what I need to understand as a believer is this: not every open door is my door. Not every opportunity is for me. Will it fit your schedule? Will it fit your banking account? Would it profit you? Maybe temporarily. But God's not into temporary moves. He's into permanent. So not every open door is your door. And it takes somebody who is grounded in their faith to understand, just because it's open and just because they're offering you a package financially that would take you places, not every door is an open door for you. And see, the longer that you postpone a door that's not for you, the longer you postpone walking through the door that is for you. So Paul and Silas wanted Asia, but God chose Macedonia. And God was like, I know Asia is readily available. I know it fits your travel plans. I know it would be easy access for you. It fits your logic. Yes, you're qualified for this open door. Yes, this is the call on your life. However, I see something that you cannot see. Point number three, God will test you with closed doors before he trusts you with open doors. God will test you with closed doors before he trusts you with an open door. So let me just ask, and you answer internally, okay? How do you handle God's no? How do you handle God's no? Parents, have you ever told your kid no? Or you told your kid to do something and they did it, but it was this on the way to get it done? My parents, don't leave me hanging. Y'all know it's true. There's some spouses that get asked by their spouse, hey, babe, can you take the trash out? You were just there. You saw it was full. You should have taken it out. Hello? Y'all laughed about the kids, but ain't nobody saying anything about marital relationships. Y'all nervous? Y'all scared? This is a safe place in here. Just let it go. Amen. 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 No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to line up my schedule this week with marital counseling. Anyway, how do you handle God's no? I wonder how many of you are sitting here right now frustrated. Listen, how many of you are sitting here right now frustrated with God because you're standing in front of a closed door that God refuses to open for you? Oh, you're at church. I get it. I get it. But you're frustrated. I'll withhold my worship. I withhold my tithe. I withhold opportunities to serve. I'm here, God. Is that not good enough? No, God wants all of you. You want all that God has to offer you, but you want to withhold and only give him what's most convenient for you. I want to deal with one more thing before we wrap up today's talk. Number four, God puts boundaries. Everybody say that word with me, boundaries. God puts boundary. Y'all know what a boundary is? A boundary prevents you from going in a certain place where we want to. God puts boundaries in my life to guide me to bridges. Anybody know what a bridge is? like the actual Google definition? I didn't, so I had to ask because I wanted to make sure I was politically correct. Listen, the purpose of a bridge, watch this, is to provide a safe and reliable passage over an obstacle. So God puts boundaries. What's a boundary? A boundary is no, not yet, or not now. He puts boundaries, and I checked this out as we were driving to Gainesville the other day. Even every bridge, to my knowledge, even the little small creek bridges, still has guardrails before you get to the concrete. Why? Because it's trying to keep, because you could go over if you're not paying attention. How many of us are going through life without when we're not paying attention? Huh? I don't know how many times this week, I don't know if it's old age, can't see or what, or just lazy. I don't know how many times I've stepped on Dexter, our 100-pound golden doodle, who you can't miss. I don't know how many times I've stepped on him because I'm so distracted and looking at other things. And poor Dex just looks at me like, Dad. You know what I'm saying? So God has to put guardrails. Maybe I am getting to that age. Got to have some guardrails in the house. God will put up guardrails in our lives to get us to a place where we can cross over that obstacle that's in our life. And let's just be honest, sometimes the paths that we choose aren't really reliable. Ever been on a road? Just driving through Chiefland. You ever been on a road? You're like, man, they could do something about this. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be like the children of Israel obeying God's instruction and wind up at a dead-end road off of what God said than for me to disobey God and find myself at a dead-end road. And now I don't know what to do. I got myself there. God gives us boundaries to lead us to bridges. Number five, because on the other side of that bridge, God gives us bridges for breakthroughs. God gives us bridges. Bridges will produce a breakthrough. What the definition say? It's something that allows us to cross over top of an obstacle. Anytime you're believing for a breakthrough, what is in front of you? An obstacle. God will put boundaries in our lives that help lead and guide us to bridges that lead to our breakthrough. So if your door is closed, right now, in the name of Jesus, if your door is closed right now, it wasn't that it wasn't closing, my finger got stuck. We talked about that. If you're looking at a closed door, you got to learn to be okay with it. Because God sees something that we can't see. I don't know who I'm talking to today. You got to be okay with it. Let's talk just for a minute about boundaries. What do we do when God says no? I love the writer here in Acts. And he says right here, he says, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow us to go. That's some heavyweight stuff. So let me say this. When you make the decision to follow Jesus and you begin walking in step, everybody say in step. When you begin following Jesus, walking in step, not ahead of him, not a little bit behind, but walking in step with Jesus, listen, you can't go everywhere that you want to go. I'm talking about born-again Christians who are followers of Jesus. You cannot go everywhere that you want to go. I want to go. Y'all don't make me call out some of the places. You can't have access to kingdom principles when you're still living by the world system. It's quiet in here, God. you can't gain access to what God is asking for you if you're still living like the thing and like the world and involved in all the stuff you were before you gave Christ your life. I can't tell you the number of times that I have felt left out because I wanted to be a part of what other people were doing. I'm not my good stuff. Like in the church, good stuff. Times where we were on staff at a church and other people got invited to events and things and we weren't invited. Remember what I told you earlier? I said that God has already showed up in the room and he has heard conversations and he's trying to protect you from hearing them. He's trying to protect you. Listen, if you're believing God for a miracle, you don't need to be hanging out with people who are giving you negative feedback. You need to hang out. You know why? I hang out with very few people, but they are people who help guard. They're my guardrails. Because we're going somewhere as a ministry, y'all. And there's some obstacles that we're going to have to go over. And I need to make sure I'm on his highway and not my highway. I need to make sure I have access to the bridge that's going to lead to the breakthrough that I'm going to need. Because, yes, I'm obeying God, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to face an obstacle. That doesn't mean I'm not going to face a negative doctor's report. I'm going to need a breakthrough. And I'm going to need some borders. I'm going to need some guardrails. I'm going to need a bridge to cross over that would take me to my breakthrough. So you can't go, as a follower of Jesus, you can't go everywhere you want to go. And let me say it this way, you can't say everything you want to say. Let me come into this generation right here. You can't go to Facebook and type up everything you want to say just because it makes you feel good. And just because you've justified and it's good, Jesus. I'm sure it is. Others are watching you. Can't say everything that's on your mind. When you walk with God, there are boundaries that must be in place. Somebody said this, say boundaries are a must for a follower of Jesus. Listen, not only do boundaries keep you protected, but they will also redirect you should you take a wrong turn. In this vision, the man from Macedonia says, please, hey, please come here and help us. And here's what God showed me in the study this week. He says, no isn't always about some danger that you can't see. See, when God says no, I've got to trust God enough to know that his no means there's a much bigger plan. You can't say, well, he's saying no because there's danger. No, 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 no. Remember what I was talking, I gave you that example with the car situation about showing up somewhere late because of trying to keep you out of a wreck. No, God may hold you back and or may not open that door for you because he's got a much bigger plan for you. Let me say it this way. God isn't trying to keep something from you. He's trying to keep something for you. Connor, get up here and stand behind the store real quick. Y'all get up for this new daddy right here. Listen, God is trying to preserve the anointing and the call of God. Don't stand too close. The door's going to open. We didn't plan this. He'd be like, I'm not ever getting up here again. Listen, God is trying to protect the anointing on your life. And God is trying to put boundaries and say no. Not because he's trying to prevent you from something. And it's not about you. It's about somebody else who may be standing there that needs something that you have. Did you hear me? You good?
Good.
Proud of you. That's all I needed right there. See, that was easy. That was easy. Y'all give it up for Connor. God's no, see, we're so self-centered. God's no is not about us. There's somebody on the other side of that door. Let me just move to the end of the message. This will make sense. This will make sense. In this story, let me just sum it up, because it's not going to be on the screens anyway. If you were going on to, through chapter 16, verse 18, Paul and Silas, they show up in Macedonia, and one day after they were going down to the place of prayer. Go ahead, in closing. Let's go ahead and bring it down. I'm going to drop this thing. They met a slave girl who was, for lack of a better term, I'm going to say it this way, she was being pimped out. She had the gift of fortune telling. She had the gift of telling people's future. And let me say this. You can have a spiritual gift and still be operating under the spirit of the demonic realm. She could prophesy and tell people's future. Just because somebody sounds to be a prophet does not mean they're clean. And day after day, this lady who would give people their fortune to tell their future, she would say, "These are men of God." She wouldn't even say anything wrong. She was actually telling them, these people are men of God. And it got to one point, she kept doing this day after day after day, where Paul just got so fed up and just annoyed with her. He said, "In the name of Jesus, demon, come out of her." And the demon came out of her. And guess what? She was no longer good for her pimps. She could no longer make money. She was telling fortunes, giving the money she made back to these dudes, right? And they were mad because she was no longer able to make money for them. Remember, they wanted to go to another location, but they showed up in Macedonia. Watch me. And so she gets set free. The pimps get mad. So they take Paul and Silas before the magistrates there in town and said, "These men, they're bad dudes. They're messing up everything. They need to be in prison." Matter of fact, they beat them, but they put them in prison. Paul and Silas, y'all know the story. Y'all know where I'm headed. And the one jailer was told, put them in the center of the prison and bound them by chains. I don't know about you, but the devil doesn't know how to keep people bound up. Because if you're a minister of the gospel, if you got Jesus on the inside, he needs to have some supernatural duct tape to keep my mouth shut. Because this is what I've learned. Because y'all know the story, how Paul and Silas praise. As long as I got a praise, I'll always have a way out. You may bind me like this. You may have me shackled down, but I still got a voice. And the Bible says that the others were listening. Remember what I told you? The others were listening. And so they began to praise. They began to sing. And the Bible talks about and tells us that the doors of the prison were opened up. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when you come in here and you don't feel like praising, you don't feel like worshiping, sometimes you got to push through because there's some boundaries. There's a bridge that God is trying to lead you. Your worship is a bridge that will lead you to your breakthrough. And the Bible says that through their praise and because of their praise and their worship, the doors of the prison were opened up and the jailer lost his mind. He was about to kill himself because he thought that all the prisoners had left and escaped. And Paul and Silas said, no, don't take your life. We're all still here. Even the people that deserve to be in the jail. Paul and Silas made a difference. You want to talk about a closed door. Here they are saying, "Okay, God, we're going to Macedonia. You opened up the door." And now they found themselves behind another door called a prison cell. For obeying God, they found themselves there. Listen, wherever you find yourself and you feel like you're stuck behind a door, God is trying to use your life to impact the lives of others. Remember what I said earlier? How you respond to a closed door determines the doors later that God wants to know, can he trust you with a closed door before he gives you what's behind door number three? Before he gives you what's behind the open door. It's called praising when life gets crazy. Praising when you lose your job. Praising when life doesn't make sense. And praising doesn't make sense. Bible goes on to say that the jailer did not take his life. As a matter of fact, he said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And that night he was baptized. And the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home, and his entire family was saved. You know what I got to thinking? There's a family in heaven right now who is thanking God that Paul and Silas didn't burst through another door and go where they wanted to go, but they said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I think there's a family. Why? Because their whole family is saved. I think that that family is up there thanking Paul and Silas that when the prison doors were open, they didn't run, because had they ran, their dad would have been killed because he let the prisoners escape. I'm talking about being positioned in the right place at the right time. And just because your prison door gets opened up, just because what you felt trapped behind is not necessarily your exit. What do you do when God says no? You trust him and know that there's a greater yes. There's something greater that he's wanting to do in you and through your life. Do you believe that this morning, church? Listen, it's not just how you handle closed doors. It's, can you trust God enough? Even when doors are open and God says, no, that one's not for you. Everybody standing all over this room. As I've looked around this room today, I believe that God is raising up an army, but not just any army. He's raising up a mature army who would not be in such a rush to chase any door and any opportunity or any dream, but who would be cool with just being planted and rooted and would begin praying prayers like, God, I want what you want when you want it. That's what God is asking of us. He's desiring for us just to come clean and go, God, I want what you want, but I want it when you want it. I want to be on your time schedule. So can we do this together? Can we just put our hands like this right here towards heaven and repeat these words after me? God, I surrender. I want what you want. Help me to settle in to your timing. Make me a mature Christian. Help me not to run with excitement to any door that's open, because not every open door is for me. I accept your boundaries. Lead me to bridges so that others can experience a breakthrough. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and I'm done, Adam's getting ready, but this is important. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never been a point in your life where you said, Jesus, will you come in and be my Lord and Savior? I want to make decisions based on what you want for me, not what I want for me. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to lead you in a prayer. What an incredible day this would be if it's the day that you say yes to him and ask him to forgive you of all your mistakes. We're not going to take you in a back room and ask you what all those mistakes are, because then we'd have to tell you what ours are, and there's not enough time in the day. We don't care about that. The blood is enough, and it's more powerful enough to cover. So if you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to know that if I died right now, or when I walk out of this, get in my car, and my life was taken through a tragic car accident, that I would wake up in heaven. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. I want to lead you in a prayer. On the count of three. One, hands already going up. Two, three. All over this building. All over this building. Come on, repeat this prayer with me. Oh God, I come before you now, confessing my sins. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I believe that your only son, Jesus, died for me at the cross of Calvary. I believe that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe that he died on the cross and he rose again 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering death, conquering the devil, and setting me free. And oh God, I ask you now, come into my life, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior now. I repent of my sins. Make me new and make me clean and set my heart on fire for you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. My friends, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, welcome to the family of God. And I believe all the angels in heaven are going crazy right now in Jesus' name. And listen, prayer is a powerful thing, but I truly believe this. There is no greater prayer that is more powerful than a prayer of salvation. There's not, because that is when your life transitions from this, from how you want to do life, to you saying, God, I give you my life. Something powerful has happened today in this place. Are you excited for Jesus? Are you excited about Jesus? Amen. Come on, one more time. Give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Hallelujah.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.